We're now a full day into the first week of classes at UNC, with thousands of students back in town for the fall semester. Students have a lot on their minds between learning their way around, navigating their class schedule, paying for textbooks, and everything else. Most students don't have to worry too much about where to use the restroom, but that's not the case for trans and non-binary students. In the last few years, UNC has converted more than 300 restrooms on campus from gender-specific to gender-neutral, but that process is still ongoing. Carolina Connections' Jade Wilson detailed their experience in this story filed last spring.
When I entered Carroll Hall, home to Hussman School of Journalism and Media, I had no idea what it would be like to go to the bathroom as a trans person. Last semester, I saw a gender-neutral sign covering the sign for the women's restroom on the second floor. This semester, during a break from a three-hour-long photojournalism class, I noticed the gender-neutral sign had disappeared. A week later, another sign went up, and the next week, it was gone again. The UNC facilities office said it removed the signs because the university never authorized them in the first place. This issue outweighs my own needs. While Carroll Hall has no gender-neutral bathrooms, the Tate Turner Curault Building, home to UNC School of Social Work, has two, but they're hard to find and not readily available. RT Helms is a second-year master's student at the School of Social Work.
I didn't know what the bathroom situation at the School of Social Work was until August of 2021, when my other friend in the program and I decided to go tour the building.
According to J.P. Shabosnik, an assistant professor at the School of Social Work, the school has had all gender bathrooms for years.
It's not that none exist. It's that what does exist is not enough. It's not satisfactory.
A few years ago, North Carolina's bathroom bill led to a national controversy. The North Carolina General Assembly passed HB 2 in 2016. HB 2 prohibited anti-discrimination ordinances and forced trans people to use bathrooms that corresponded with their assigned sex at birth. HB 2 was later revoked in 2017, resetting the law back to allowing trans people to use whichever bathroom they identify with. However, it doesn't protect trans people from repercussions, nor does it require gender-neutral bathrooms. UNC now has more than 360 gender-neutral bathrooms across campus, but not every building has one. Trevi McDonald, an associate professor in Hussman School of Journalism and Media, is the director of ABIDE, an acronym for Access, Belonging, Inclusion, Diversity, and Equity.
People realize that this is something that's important. And if it doesn't affect you, it might be something that you don't think about. If you have a class that's maybe 2.5 hours, you might have to plan in advance because you have maybe a 5 or 10 minute break during class. And you don't have time to go to another building.
The bathrooms in the Curtis Media Center, a building now under construction next door to Carroll Hall, will all be gender neutral. Mark Richardson, Hussman's Assistant Dean for Business and Finance, says the Hussman School is actively working with the university to assess options for creating a gender neutral restroom in Carroll Hall. In Chapel Hill, I'm Jade Wilson.
For Carolina Connection, a student-produced radio newscast from the UNC Hussman School of Journalism and Media that airs on 97.9 The Hill Saturday mornings during the school year. They've been off for the summer, but they'll be back on the air next month. Turning now to crime news, as a Raleigh man was sentenced last week to 15 to 19 years in prison for a 2019 shooting in Hillsboro. Elijah Rashad Dobson reportedly fired into an occupied vehicle on South Churton Street, just missing an infant and leaving one victim with multiple gunshot wounds. Dobson was convicted of numerous charges, including attempted first-degree murder. In a statement to 97.9 The Hill after the sentencing, Assistant DA Jeff Neiman described it as, quote, one of the most brazen violent crimes that I have seen in my career. Down now to Pittsboro, where Town Hall is still closed to the public due to COVID-related staff shortages. Town officials said they hope to be able to reopen the building yesterday. Ultimately, though, that was not the case. You can head to our website, chapelboro.com, to get contact information if you need to get in touch with offices and departments located inside Pittsboro Town Hall. Staying in town government news, we head back to Chapel Hill, which launched a program in 2019 called Building Integrated Communities, BIC for short, part of a statewide program through UNC's Latino Migration Project to support residents who are immigrants and refugees. The BIC project is still going strong 3 years later, and it recently got a big boost in the form of a three-year, $375,000 grant from the Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina Foundation.
Our goal is to understand the experience of immigrants immigrant and refugee residents in the community and help build leadership and opportunities for engagement.
That's Sarah Venius, Chapel Hill's Director of Affordable Housing and Community Connections.
We are really excited to use this funding to continue to advance the BIC action plan.
That action plan was developed in 2019 out of conversations with hundreds of immigrant and refugee residents of Chapel Hill. It's a 34-point plan with a dozen overarching goals across five general areas: increasing public transportation, strengthening ties with law enforcement, engaging residents in leadership roles, expanding housing access, and improving government communication, especially for those who don't speak English. Venia says that last point has been the focus of much of their work since day one.
The number one thing that we heard from immigrant and refugee residents was that they couldn't communicate with the town because everything that we were putting out, or most things that we put out, were English only.
Since then, Venia says officials have translated hundreds of documents into Spanish, Mandarin, Karen, and Burmese. In addition, they've provided interpretation for town meetings, hired more multilingual speakers, and developed a 24-hour language line that town staffers can use when communicating with non-English speakers. Venia says those efforts have produced results.
We've had more participation of immigrant and refugee residents in our public meetings, and we know that there is a long way to go towards what is called language justice, when people can communicate in the language that they prefer, but we've made a lot of progress.
Venia says the BIC program has also had success in affordable housing, working with local providers like Habitat for Humanity to expand their eligibility criteria to cover more immigrant residents, including those with temporary protected status.
We've heard a lot of positive feedback from residents who had a dream of homeownership and previously may not have been eligible, and now they can apply for a Habitat home.
Now, Venia says the new grant money will enable the BIC program to do even more, like hire an additional full-time staffer, increase training for town staff, add more interpreters, and develop more opportunities for immigrants and refugees to take on leadership roles in the community.
Immigrant and refugee residents may not be aware of what the town does, how to engage with us, and that's part of what we're trying to do with BIC, is break down those barriers so that residents can participate in decision-making processes as well as our programs and services.
Venia says that's an important mission for a town like Chapel Hill, where about one in six residents was born outside the U.S. It's time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Rosewood Wealth Management. The Tar Heel men's soccer team fought Mount Olive to a 1-1 tie in an exhibition match last night in Chapel Hill, just a day after beating USC Upstate 3-0 in another exhibition on Sunday. Next up, one more preseason tune-up this Friday at James Madison before the regular season begins next week. Over to football now, where Carolina is just 11 days away from their season opener. Depth will be a challenge for UNC on offense, with inexperience compounded by some recent injuries, but it's a different story on defense, where Gene Chizik's unit will enter the season with experienced veterans at every position. Here's senior safety Don Chapman on how Chizik has adjusted the playbook this year.
I feel like we shrunk the playbook a little bit. It's not about what the offense does. It's about what we do. We're out here working on our checks, making sure we have a check for everything. It's more so us playing hard defense and playing fast instead of thinking on every call, or if they do this, we got to change the call. So that's the big difference, I say, Coach Chiz and Warren bring. It's a lot simpler, and there's literally every call has a check for everything that could show up.
That's Don Chapman speaking there. The AP's preseason top 25 came out yesterday. UNC got votes but finished outside the rankings. Alabama is your preseason number one, with Clemson, the top ACC team, at number four, and NC State matching its highest preseason ranking ever at number 13. Turning to basketball, UNC women's head coach Courtney Banghart says nothing's final yet, but the Tar Heels are in the process of scheduling a two-game series with UConn, one game next season at Mohegan Sun in Connecticut, and another game the following year at a neutral site in North Carolina that will likely be Greensboro. Banghart made that announcement on the Tar Heel Show, hosted by British Tar Heel George Harmer. UConn has a 7-5 advantage in the all-time series against the Heels, though the two teams haven't met since 2012. UNC's last win in that series came back in 2007. Banghart also apologizing for another comment she made on that same show, where she referred to NC State fans as classless. Direct quote, she issued a statement apologizing for that comment last night. Other basketball news, a pair of Tar Heel legends will be on hand next month to induct a third into the Naismith Hall of Fame. Just announced, Roy Williams and Bobby Jones will be among the presenters when George Karl is inducted at the ceremony on September 10th. Karl graduated from UNC in 1973 and played briefly in the pros before going on to a legendary career as a head coach. He'll be the 12th Tar Heel alum to be inducted into the Naismith Hall of Fame. And finally, in baseball, the Durham Bulls are back in action tonight on the road at Norfolk at 6:35. The Bulls are now in first place in the International League East standings after taking 5 of 6 over Jacksonville last week.